You know what time it is. Welcome to Great Table Talk. Childhood friends coming together to make a difference in our everyday community. Enjoy this week's episode. So, welcome to Great Table Talk, everyone. It's your girl, Cash. And I have with me Yvette. Hi, Yvette.
Hi.
I have Lady J.
Hello.
Hey, Coach.
Hello.
And my author friend. How many of you can say you have friends that's authors? Monica, how you doing?
Hi, Kay.
Moni, I call her Moni. not one book, but two. But anywho,
awesome.
thank God I get mine for free. That's wrong.
No.
That's wrong. That's really wrong.
Now you're gonna give me business.
This is our Mother's Day edition, kind of the kickoff our Mommy and Me series. I specifically wanted to invite these specific ladies because they have so much to input when it comes to this particular topic. And the Mommy and Me series is going to be specifically catered to moms of preteen girls, teenage girls, and young adult girls, or ladies.
And I have all of those.
And she has all of those because she has 13 children.
13?
Okay. Yeah. So, they were caught stealing together. This is a true story in the news. The mother ratted the daughter out, but the daughter didn't rat the mother out. What do you think about that bond?
I think it's about bond.
Yeah.
Bond,
right? And it's a healthy bond versus... There's a healthy bond versus...
There was a loyalty there, though.
Yeah. Right.
Because the daughter was raised to trust her mom.
No matter what.
Right. But the mom is of an age where she knows how to manipulate her daughter into doing whatever she wants.
Absolutely.
And her mom also knows that she's young enough, she's going to get away with it. So I can say this, and right. I'll take a little bit of the blame. So either way, the mom's winning.
Right.
And you know what else, too? Being that the mom is older, she have more issues.
Right.
Than the daughter. The daughter is not old enough to even have as many issues as the mom. Who knows? The first thing came to me when she said it, "Hey, mom on drugs."
Well, I thought about that also, but also as the child, when is it appropriate now to set mom straight that, you know what, enough is enough.
Right.
That's
right.
True.
But I love my mom so much, I'm going to do what she asks me to do, even if I disagree at a certain age.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Even if I disagree, I'm going to do what my mom says. I might grumble a little bit, but I'm going to do what she says.
Even though I know it's wrong.
Even though I know it's wrong, because that's my mom at the end of the day.
You think there's anything such as an unhealthy bond?
I think so. So in this case, because when you know better, you do better. And that's on any playing field. So even as it relates to this, now I know this type of behavior carried on is only going to set my mom back further. So now when do I come to a point where, you know what, mom, I'm doing this here because it's the best for you. So it's time out for it. It's, we've done it enough. Now it's time for you to be exposed, because exposing you is only going to help, you know, further our, because eventually you're going to run into a brick wall.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so what that brick wall looks like is only to be determined. But if I can stop you at this point, then hopefully I have some saving grace for our future relationship.
But a lot of that has to be taught.
Right.
I know. So my point exactly is, what point do you determine that, you know what, enough is enough? I've stolen for you enough times that, you know what? Because somebody, I'm sure, is in that child ear saying, you know what, your mom should not be doing it.
Yeah.
So now at what point do I not necessarily go against my loyalty for my mom, but I'm doing this because it's the best, that I want the best for her?
Oh, I have another one, since we're talking about healthy bonds. There was a movie made behind this young lady that was stolen from the hospital when she was a baby, like 2 days old, and a woman wanted to take the baby to save her relationship, and the girl didn't find out until she was probably 17 that she was actually stolen from the hospital, and she was all on the yalla. Mm-hmm. You know, I like Auntie Yalla sometimes, you know. Hug Mother Earth, hug the tree. Put your hands in the soil. But anyway.
I watch it sometimes. My sister's
addicted to it. It's some good stuff. I mean, you eat the meat and throw away the bones. Mm-hmm. But she reunited with her father, her birth father, and her birth mom. However, their relationship was crushed. But she has loyalty to the mom who actually stole her. So what is your...
Love has no... It's not attached to a person. It's attached to the feeling and the emotion that comes out of that relationship. So, for example, your biological parent you may not love, but the person who takes care of you, nurtures you, educates you, comforts you, soothes you, mm-hmm. that's the person you're going to be attached to. It's all depending on that relationship and that bond that's created. That child didn't know that she was stolen because she was raised in a loving environment. Right. She was raised as that lady's own. Now, what that woman did was wrong, mm-hmm. but she knew it was wrong. But she was in such a desperate place to get that, that she wanted that reciprocity, and that reciprocity was given through that child. Now, how she got it, it didn't matter to her.
Right.
That was a desperation for her. But that child, innocent,
yeah.
got caught up in a situation. Now, at this point, you're making her choose. You're telling me that the woman that raised me, that's not my mom, mm-hmm. nor should I love her. Now you're telling me I should not love her. You can't make me not love the person who raised me all this time.
That's very good how you put that. And what comes to mind also is that a lot of times we view the person's action and not the heart behind it.
Yeah,
right.
Now,
that's even that person that's that, you know, stole the baby. I know it was wrong, but the heart behind why she stole the baby, you know, sometimes get lost in the files.
That's
we have to be careful even when it comes down to something like that.
And I guess you have to know that, like, just to cap off with you have to know the person reasoning, just like a mom might sell her body to get money to feed her child.
Mm-hmm.
So does she want to sell her body? No, but she knows that child needs to be fed, mm-hmm. and she's in a desperate situation, so desperate situation calls for desperate decisions. So,
mm-hmm. And even to go even further, that's one of the things that I was just talking in reference to with a young lady. I'm like, okay, your mom didn't make the best decisions, but unfortunately this doesn't come with a handbook. So sometimes we make decisions that we're not proud of, but sometimes we're just forced to make decisions based upon the situation that we're currently in.
Absolutely.
You know, and so that's why, again, we can fault our parents for some things that took place, but why did it take place?
Yeah, right.
And nobody ever want to take a minute to know the why.
I'm a why person. Mm-hmm. I've always been a why person. So I look beyond the situation at hand, and I always ask, why? What's wrong? What's going on underneath there? Because mm-hmm. I want to know what triggered you at the moment. Absolutely. Because here's the deal. You make a temporary decision, a 5-second decision that would last a lifetime.
Yeah.
And everybody on the outside, it has the opportunity to judge your decision that you made in that 5-second moment for a lifetime. And they can hold you accountable.
Right.
They can judge you. They can
and
just
don't
tell
know
you
the deeper story.
Don't know
behind.
Anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
So how it looks on the outside versus how it looks on the inside,
mm-hmm.
it's two different things. And then the person have to prove your worthiness.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the unfairness of it all.
You could tell you're an author.
So I don't talk like an author?
And I don't.
If you want to write a book, then yes.
I have one. I'm going to book you.
Edit that. I never can get that whole clapping thing.
The night one.
Edit that. So,
night one, really?
Me too.
Oh, sit down. Thank you.
That is funny. She chooses. Well, I don't think I'm gonna win with you.
Nah,
she knows.
Good segue to the why.
Yeah.
For your preteen, okay. Mm-hmm. When I had preteens, I was social media was kind of new. Well, I mean, I have that teenage now. What would be your advice to parents and mothers, fathers out there when it comes to monitoring their kids on social media? Because the apps are forever changing. To have them understand the severity of what they post.
You know, one of those parents that I'd rather be safe than sorry.
Mm-hmm.
And I know a lot of parents have gotten to the point where, you know what, I want to be my child's friend. I don't want to make my child angry. I want to make sure that the tempo is consistent.
Yeah.
But I'd rather protect you now than have to have regrets later.
Mm-hmm.
So what that means is I have to keep my pulse on everything that you
mm-hmm.
do. So I should have passwords. I should have, you know, the fingerprint mm-hmm. in your telephone.
Mm-hmm.
At any given moment when the spirit prompts me to look in your phone, I should be able to do so. And I think when we look at how our world is changing is because we're pulling back so much as parents.
Yeah.
And the social media thing is just illuminating to the point where, you know what, social media is teaching our kids and we're not doing it at home. So the end thing is whatever's on social media,
mm-hmm.
is that's the end thing. We have to get back to perhaps where our grandparents were before the social media thing even came into existence. Yes. You know, and I know we have to change as the world is changing, and we're supposed to a certain degree. But the fact that our kids are able to just do any and everything, and we have no control over it, has become problematic. And at the end of the day, we cannot look at our kids. We have to blame ourselves.
And let me just say something. I have a kid that they didn't even have a phone because I didn't want them to be on social media. And they had like 18 accounts out there.
And they didn't have a phone?
They didn't have a phone.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And they had different accounts because their friends must have set it up in the email address. They didn't have the know-it-all to know that when you have to reset your password, that kind of thing.
Right.
And yeah. And I'm like, oh my gosh. So I had to kind of figure out, like, I got to find a better way to kind of, okay, so listen, you can have this social media account, but I need to know password. I need to be able to get in this. So I have all these children, all these passwords. I'm being honest with you. Three kids, I don't know how you doing. I'm tired.
I'll be honest with you. In my situation, the reason why I can speak so strongly about this is because one of the most disappointing seasons of my life is having to find something out on social media with one of my kids.
Yeah,
and I'm going to be honest with you. It was because God kept prompting me to do it, but no, I don't want to make him mad. I don't want to offend her. I don't want to, you know, overstep. And so when God revealed it to me, it was a little late.
Right.
Not when he revealed it to me, when I acted upon what he revealed it to me, it was a little late. Had I, you know, did when I was prompted to do it, I could have saved him as well as myself some heartache.
That's right.
And so as parents, again, trying to protect them or trying to protect their feelings, that social media is the way. And I even go a step further, even as it relates to education and professionalism. If I want to know who you are, I'm looking at your social media. I don't care. Coming to the interview, I'm not impressed with that. Open up your social media, I find out who you are. Tell our students in the College of Pharmacy all the time, people follow you. You're going to be a doctor. That's the first thing that they're going to look at is, what are you posting on social media?
Right.
Are you fully dressed? What can I, what's being revealed to me, you know, and I'm interviewing you. That's all, that all plays a part. And unfortunately, you know, the internet is not, doesn't erase.
Right.
This stuff follows you for years.
Right.
But our kids at 13, at 11, preteens, they don't understand that
Now. And that's the age specifically that I think, like what you're saying.
I think it's even younger, guys.
Well, I think, well, at this point, but I mean, my kids rolling on up there, but preteens, that's kind of was the hardest point to kind of bring them in. Like, oh, listen, understand that this is inappropriate.
Validation is a big thing, right? So right now, as children grow up, they're seeking more and more validation from outside sources.
Right.
It is an insatiable desire to get that attention from something that is trendy, is popular, and whatever the means is right now. When they got on social media, it was a little contained, but now they have so much stuff that's coming at them on all different levels. And here's the sad part. There is a distinct a coming to a point where the parents are coming down to the children, and children are coming up to the parents. There's no boundaries. There's no hierarchy. Yeah. There's no type of authority. Differentiation, no authority, not any of that, because now everybody wants to be in. Everybody wants to be included. Everybody wants to be the next big thing. So as it relates to children and social media, I have a difficult time because I'm very introverted. I don't want my stuff to be out there. But my children wants to be, they want to be included. And sometimes we as parents kind of tend to look at it as such a negative purview because we already know what could happen.
Right.
But the children sometimes are just as innocent trying to do their things, but we take it so far that we ruin it for them. Now, on the flip side, they also use that as a means to get around you because they have the opportunity to do so. You don't know the game. They do. They grew up on this. So they know how to manipulate. They know how to maneuver. They know how to do all those things. So just like you said, your children had 13 accounts and they had no phone. So you thinking having their phone that's going to stop them? It's not. So they're going to do what they want to do, and they're going to talk to whomever they want to talk to. And they're going to create the persona that they want to create with or without your consent. So it's all truly up to the parent to really kind of instill in the child that who you are is enough. Enough. But sometimes, unfortunately, there are other influences that's outside of us, and there's nothing we can do about that.
Right.
And we have to pray and lean into our own understanding to understand that they are going to be just as fine, right. Hopefully.
And you said a key thing that I actually had to do. I actually had to figure out the best way to try to combat this. Like, okay, here's the phone. This is your account. What's the username and password? And let's all set it up. And then we're going to have some accountability here. And that's only with this one particular child I had to do this with. The other ones I said no. She was like, okay, cool. But this one, oh, she's the most ingenuitive one that I have.
I get by me being at the, I work at the high school, a high school, and I see a lot of kids use social media as entertainment.
Yes.
They use social media as entertainment, pastime. Sadly enough, I see, and I think I'm guilty of it sometimes, because there's not a lot of family relationships.
Right.
So, unfortunately, and it's even saddened me to say this, children use their phone as their best friend, as they have a relationship with that phone.
Mm-hmm. They have an intimate relationship.
They have a bond with mm-hmm. that phone. Mm-hmm. So you, if you ever want to get back at a child, you can take their money, you can stop feeding them, start washing their clothes, whatever.
Take that phone.
As soon as you take that phone.
That's my punishment.
Oh, my God.
Because they created the best friend.
That's like their outlet. That's their go-to place.
Right.
That's their place where they can, what's the word I want to use? Express themselves, mm-hmm. you know, or see other people expressing themselves. Mm-hmm. And honestly and truly, it's really, really sad, mm-hmm. you know, and they're taking social media to another height, I'm gonna call it the twilight zone.
So how do we as parents combat that? We have the password, we know what social media accounts that they're on. How do we combat that struggle with reassurance or likes? Or
I would say, just like it was just mentioned, validating them mm-hmm. as often as possible. Letting them know that they are fearfully and wonderfully mm-hmm. made, that you're a mighty man, you know, a valid that, you know, God right. has purpose and design. So even if you open up your post and you don't have 100 likes, understand, mm-hmm. we love you. Right. God loves right. you first, and that's right. more important. And I believe once we cultivate that type of environment at home, starting at home, I don't have to seek that when I'm among my friends. And so now I'm the person that's encouraging you, girl, don't worry about that. Mm-hmm. Like, they can say what they want. You know who you are.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so that it has to start at home. And another, you know, it's five, we can be at dinner. Everybody on their cell phone. My thing is, put it
absolutely.
Up.
Absolutely.
Put it up.
And that's another great thing I was about to say.
You know, yeah, put yeah. it up. And I mean, my husband's on his, I'm on mine, my son mm-hmm. on his, my other one's on his. No, this is ridiculous. Put it up. We're having family time. What you did at school today? Right. What's going on in your life? But that's what's absent from the house at this time.
Yeah. That's
we're
that's
not
so
doing
right.
that. We're not eating dinner together. We barely spending time together.
We're texting each other in the same house.
Exactly.
Bring me some water.
Exactly. Turn off the lights. Turn that TV down.
Make sure that kitchen clean.
Yeah, word.
Exactly.
That is convenient.
Exactly. So we have to go back.
Right. You're right. That's right.
Yeah, and I agree with everything that's been said. And also, what unfortunately we have to kind of monitor is the child themselves, right? Pay attention to the behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of the phone, you have to pay attention to the behavior. If they're sulking, if they're kind of seeming down, no matter what you ask them, they have the ability not to tell you the truth.
Mm-hmm.
They have this harboring mechanism that I don't want to tell you the truth, because exposing the truth for them seems like it's more, if they say it out loud, if they speak it out their mouths somehow, some way, somebody's going to hear it, and somebody's going to say that it's wrong. And most of the children are fearful that a lot of things are wrong. They don't want, and then that goes back to my parent. I don't want to disappoint you, parent. Mm-hmm. I don't want to disappoint you, mom. I don't want to disappoint you, dad. But I just want to have that piece of me to mm-hmm. myself. But unfortunately, that piece might go in a different direction. And that's why we have to kind of really cater to them and really figure out what's going on with them.
I think another way we can combat that is, stop putting ourselves first.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Can you use it as a sentence?
And I'm guilty of it, because, I mean, there was a time where I'll come home and go straight in my room and study all night. Mm-hmm. Oh, they could be in the room watching TV. Because I be with kids all day long because mm-hmm. I go to high school. So I don't want to be with no more kids.
Mm-hmm.
But I got to realize, you're avoiding your own children. How can you give all this time and invest all this time with other people's kids and you don't have time for that? So I think one of the ways to combat is, when my daughter come home from work, go in her room, go lie in her bed. How was your day today? Yeah, that's, you know, mm-hmm. ask them questions. I know when and I noticed that I'm starting to build a more of a bond. And I have a bond with my kids.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
It's more of a bond with my kids when I ask them, how your day been? How mm-hmm. how did it go? Mm-hmm. You want to go play basketball? You know, you do more interactions with your children mm-hmm. instead mm-hmm. of just wanting to just rest. And guess what? It's a sacrifice. It's, right. But it's, you got to realize, my husband said this the other day, y'all. It was so, so awesome, so profound. It was a rhema word. He said, don't allow anyone to determine the residuals or the returns on your investment.
Right.
And your mm-hmm. children are your investments.
Right. Absolutely correct. Right.
And I absolutely said, wow. Yeah. I said, I'm going to put that on social media. You know, and that's what anybody that's right. that have any type of input or say-so or intermingle or relationship with your child, watch all those relationships mm-hmm. and where it is and what value they put in. Because believe it or not, y'all realize our children are with people that we don't even know that well. Mm-hmm. You know,
absolutely.
And they're investing in your child with their behavior, absolutely. How they teach, how they correct them, whether they tell them no, yes, or whatever. And
yeah.
and then when they come home, like you said perfectly, you have to observe their behavior mm-hmm. when they come home daily. Okay, if my son have a sad face, what happened?
Mm-hmm.
Find out what happened. They have a sad face for a reason. Mm-hmm. So my son, you know, when I asked him, how was your day? It was okay. It was all right. So what I do, I try to pay attention to his adjectives mm-hmm. he uses for his day. If he said, oh, I had fun, I had a great day, we good, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. If he say anything more on the negative side, then now I got to dig a little yeah. deeper. Well, what happened, son, yada, yada, yada. Because I want him to know I care how his day went, you know. And I think mm-hmm. with social media, if we put more attention on how our kids, how their day go, and who made them feel good,
yeah.
who made them feel bad, that's your, wow, mom and dad really care. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, or even with me with so many kids, even mm-hmm. teaching, coaching my siblings, the older siblings, to invest more in the absolutely. Younger siblings. Because yes. the younger siblings look up to the older siblings.
Right, right.
That's what his right. billboard yeah. recently has said. Listen to your kids. They may teach you something.
Always. Wow.
And that's yeah, always too, because yeah. Yeah, we don't have truth. Time to listen, because we know it all.
Right.
Yeah.
We know it all. So you listen to me. But right. when I read that, I was like, you know wow. what?
If I click,
that
yeah.
is so, it's so much revelation.
That a word that'll preach.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you know, and if we find, and I after I read that, I found myself trying to be that person.
Mm-hmm.
Let me listen. And you'd be so surprised by just rolling across the bed like,
absolutely.
Wow, this was so refreshing that yeah. a 14-year-old can teach you something.
Yes, they can.
They can. Because again, we out of touch when it comes down to a lot of stuff.
Right.
But how our communication methods have to change also to be able to reach them.
Right.
So listening to them help us to know what is it that they're looking to know from us.
Right.
Just
absolutely.
By us listening.
And I'm a little bit different. I'm over analytical, I guess. I'm over observant. So sometimes I over express, try to dig deep, because I want to know how they're feeling. So my children they're introverts by nature. They are a one and done type children. So if you ask them the question,
I said I'm good.
That's it.
I said it was a good 30 minutes.
Yeah, that's yeah. it. But to me is, I'm not hearing what you say. I'm watching your tone. Mm-hmm. I'm watching your mm-hmm. your way that your mm-hmm. meaning, your body language. I'm watching all of that stuff. And it gets to a point where they feel like I'm pressuring. It's adding pressure to them by mm-hmm. me asking these questions. And I'm like, that's not where the intent is. I'm really trying to get you to tell me in the moment why you're feeling it, what's going on, so that you can release it and let
right,
it go.
Right.
But that's not how it comes across.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
you're
it's
nagging.
A, yes,
it like
I'm fussing, I'm nagging, I'm
like
pushing around.
Wah, 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 wah.
Right.
And that's right. why even with that, we have to learn a love language even with our kids.
Right.
Oh,
absolutely.
Right. That was going to be, that was going to be my
love language.
I never worked
that's
so
good.
Hard at being when they were younger, okay, it was easy. They like chicken strips,
just, yeah, get them chicken,
you know,
yeah.
nuggets, and because, mm-hmm. but and you could take them to a park. They happen to run around, but it's when my, you know, we went to all them teenagers.
We sure did.
Oh, but when we started having teenagers, you'd be like, oh, mm-hmm. I didn't respect this.
We're gonna mentor mine.
Yes, mm-hmm. I found myself working 8 million times harder than I've ever
yeah.
worked before,
yeah.
just to get their attention,
just to
yeah.
and keep it, and mm-hmm. for like. Hey, I got some stuff. I mean, let's talk.
And it makes you second guess what you're doing.
Yeah.
Like I I did all of this for you. Did you see?
Right.
Now I'm looking for validation from them.
Right. And I told one of my kids the other day, I'm like, you like so the mean girl on the playground that I'm trying to please.
That's
like,
right.
Do you like this?
Exactly.
What about this right here?
Right. Yeah, you do a song. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. So I mean, is it okay? Cracks no cracks. Cracks no cracks.
God, you don't put that
in the should look better.
Yeah. My mom was like, take that off. I'm like, well, you have
to say like that. You ain't have to say it like that, but yeah, I tried.
Exactly.
And guess what? They're 100% honest.
Yeah, they all are.
I think I was asking Aria, my daughter, how does the mama know about it? Well, choke us no more. I said, but I like right. The choker.
Yeah, you had help with the egg. Thank you.
You can't tell me I'm not the diva, but I would not shop for Jasmine. Ain't nothing I pick out is right.
See, I'm like, I'm on it.
Like, you
I'm
know
on
what?
It.
So if I'm not with you, you're not getting it. I'm sorry. I want to be that mom that, oh, Jasmine, I picked this up for you.
Exactly. Yeah,
like,
right,
ugh.
Right. So we out of touch. Right. We out of touch.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Okay, so let's go on to the young adult daughters that we have.
What's the age range?
Let's go 8, 7, 16 plus.
Okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Dating. Mm-hmm. How do you all approach dating? I had a kid.
Okay.
Ever until you're 35.
You're out my house.
Until you know yourself, got your credit, and built your own house.
Thank you.
Paid your student loans off. That ain't gonna be never.
Zero.
They called me this week. I'm like, what? That's what I was thinking. Anyway, So I had a kid that asked me, "Why even worry about getting married?" And I said, "Well, what do you mean?" She said, "All the problems that people go through. I mean, do you see the pickings out here? Guys don't want to ask you out. People who are married don't want to be married. People who are single, they loving to be single. People married and dating other." I mean, I was like, oh. She worded it differently, but that's what she said. Why even bother?
But you know what? I guess I'm blessed to say
I kind of jumped to marriage. I probably should have talked about dating first.
Well, my daughter said she is 20.
Don't be naming people.
No, I'm trying to think of her age.
She got 8 of them.
She's 20-something, early 20. She said, and it blessed me, she said, "Mom, if I can't find somebody like my daddy, I'm not getting married."
And that's
because my husband set a good example. Absolutely. Of how, what to look for in a man or in a husband or in a boyfriend, fiance. So, mm-hmm. You know, and I am blessed to say my children really, really, I kind of get jealous. They really, really go to their dad for everything.
Yeah.
And I kind of bought that on myself because when they come to me,
that's your daddy. Yeah, she was saying. Yeah.
Go to your dad. But we as mothers got to take some of that ownership too, because, you know, my husband told me one time, "Yvette, why it look like I'm the bad cop, you're the good cop?" And that's how I was portraying him, because, I respect and submit to my husband because he makes all final decisions in everything that we do. But at the same time, he wants me to be able to make some decisions, and he don't mind me making some decisions. But, you know, with the dating thing with my daughter, I tell my kids, and I'm going to be honest with you, this is what I tell my children, and I have lots of them.
Yeah,
I tell my boys, make sure he doesn't date or get with anyone he cannot take care of. And I tell my girls, make sure you don't date or get with anyone who can't take care of you. That's my...
And what about the challenges? Because I know the self-esteem of, I'm not doing this, so no boys are checking for me. Because I've had stages of, let me just say, I got 3 kids, and 2 out of the 3 have kind of like said, "Hey, why even bother? I got to dress like this or act like this for it to get attention." So as a parent, what do you say?
It's all in. It's all in how you perceive it, like you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, some things have changed so drastically. Mm-hmm. That there's no romance, there's no intimacy, there's no courtship.
Mm-hmm.
My children have found friendships that they believe is valuable enough mm-hmm. to continue in a courtship. But what they found is once they get into this relationship or courtship type situation, it's not exactly
what they thought.
Mm-hmm. So it's hard. They don't like hard.
That's very good.
Yeah.
Very good.
The hard part of relationships is staying in the relationship.
Yeah.
So when they find that, you know, he's not doing it or she's not doing it, they want to move on to the next thing.
Mm-hmm.
They give up a little bit too easy, I think. And there is a, some children still have a romantic version of what love is, mm-hmm. and if it doesn't match what they may have seen on television or something like that, mm-hmm. it goes away. But I do believe that our children do have this value in love. They're just afraid to express that because, again, the world is telling them this is not what it is.
Absolutely. Right.
So, right. But in yeah, a household, in your household, they see mom and dad either loving on each other, fussing with each other, mm-hmm. struggling, but we doing right. it together.
Yeah.
And sometimes that weighs on a child because they're like, well, shoot, if we have to do all this just right. to stay together, I don't want to do it. Right. But at the end of right. the day, if they could understand the benefit of doing all of that stuff is the end reward. You have somebody to stand by your side. You have somebody right. to walk through this life together. Mm-hmm. You have somebody to lay down with and comfort you when mm-hmm. you need something.
Mm-hmm.
Ultimately, they're going to get that. Right. And how we try to cultivate that now is keep talking to them.
Right. Use your words. Them. And that's what right. I was about to say. Right. I have
you're
to
valuable
talk,
enough.
Talk to
yeah.
them. And not just with affirmation, but just what does it look like to you? What does yeah. a marriage look like to you?
Because they're really feeling that.
Because what you think you're teaching them
right.
with your words, that's not what they're perceiving.
They look at your action. They don't hear nothing
that's right.
you're saying.
So look at your action. They're feeding off of what society says.
Right.
And so you have to have them begin to put words to what their beliefs are.
And I think another good idea to with Dave, like say, for instance, me and Kashelle is real close. We've been knowing each other for so long. Mm-hmm. So she knows she can trust me talking to her daughter.
Right.
Because I know what it is to be a godly woman, to have a relationship. I know what it is going through teenage, you know, all this mm-hmm. other stuff. So she know, and you know, we all know as mothers, I'm going to say the same thing she said, mm-hmm. but word it differently. And guess what? She's going to hear it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that community mm-hmm. is so important.
It is. It's so vital. Important. It is vital to our children's success. Happiness, and even more so, watch this word, y'all, freedom.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let me also add, too, about, I know we're talking about the ladies, but it's important because mm-hmm. I have a son that's yeah. at a dating age,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And I make sure, by all means, I'm raising a son who is a gentleman.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So my expectations is, if you're bringing her somewhere, you're going to pay, you're going to open mm-hmm. her door, you're going to respect her.
Yep.
But I think that's something else that we as parents are now pulling back from. Mm-hmm. So our daughters have these limitations and mm-hmm. what they should not do and what they cannot do, but our sons can just wild out.
Yeah. Right.
Absolutely
mm-hmm.
not.
Mm-hmm.
I'm raising you to be a respectful, so no matter who house you go to,
right.
that young lady's
right.
parent is going to be like, wow, there's still right. young right. men in this world.
Yeah. Right.
And
right.
that's what
right.
we have to get
it's super refreshing. Right. I'm right. telling you, it's
yeah.
super. But for having daughters, it's refreshing when mine said, okay, well, he did this. Mine, I'm like, oh, right.
Yeah,
surprise.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
My children, my girls, tell me that it's really hard to get to see what's going on because they don't know.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many different things going on. What you see is not what you get.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, there have so many things that even the boys have been not trained on.
Right.
Not necessarily because they just haven't been trained. They want to be able to love somebody, but they haven't been shown the proper way to do that.
Right.
And on the flip side, these girls have, sometimes these young ladies have so many different expectations of get rich quick,
mm-hmm.
Having this, that's
yeah.
not it.
Right.
But as our girls grow up, and keep impounding in them that they're ladies, they're
right.
women,
right.
and they have to do it for themselves
first
and
right.
then he's a supplement to
mm-hmm.
you.
Right.
He's not, and I know that he and from the God perspective that he's the covering, but he's not that yet because he's not your husband.
Right. Right.
So you
mm-hmm.
you have to
right.
get there first.
Right. Right.
So
right.
until you understand that you have to live in this world and stand on your two feet by yourself until this man comes into your life, then you have to do that. Now, on the flip side, for my son, he's gonna be a man regardless of the day.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Whether today, he's gonna be a man today and tomorrow, but the woman
mm-hmm.
has to always be careful of how she chooses to make her decisions because that carries forward throughout her life.
Right. Right.
Unfair, but true.
Right. That's real talk.
I guess another thing too is, men, I just encourage fathers, you know, who are there in their children's life to date their daughters and show them how,
time, yes.
you know, and mothers
my
date
daughters
their
are
son,
definitely daddy's girls.
You know, and my daughters too, and
mm-hmm.
and the mothers to date their son. But even to, I saw a post and it was so awesome, and even it I said, Lord, if I was young, this would help me not to go through so much stuff. It basically said
50 years, so I'm confused to what
51 and a half. So the post said, and it was a picture of a woman, it says, stop looking for your other half because you hold.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. That's exactly exactly what I said.
Wow. And a lot of women, you know, they're looking for their other half.
It's lonely in the world, though. You want to have somebody to walk this life with you side by side. It is lonely in the world because you want to have that love. You want to have that romantic moment in your life that somebody just love on you and encourages you. But unfortunately, you might have to find it in a different way.
A different nationality?
Yeah.
I mean, I've been married a couple of times. And three or four. Well, you know what I'm just saying. I made some decisions when I was young. I probably shouldn't have made, but you know what? Thank God I'm still here.
Thank God for deliverance.
Speaking of decisions, how do you, I guess my question would be, I know that we always make our decisions and we make our mistakes and all of the other things. How do we let our children do that? Because I don't know how to do that.
That's a great question. It depends on the age and it depends on what it is. Like for instance, one of the hardest things I have to do with my daughters is, one of my children challenged me to see them for who they were, not for who they were, was. Who they are, not for who they were. Because I wanted to keep her as a little kid. She's like, no, mom, listen to me. I'm telling you what's going on with me right now. Allow me to do this. Mm-hmm. And it was in that passion and in that determination. I'm like, oh, okay, you are right. I saw her differently. Mm-hmm. In saying that, and I know I told y'all don't be mentioning Jesus all through this podcast, but God told me in that very same way, I see you. I don't see you for the mistakes that you made. Yeah. So sometimes you have to allow them to make those mistakes and love them through it.
Right.
And make it a teachable moment. You get what I'm saying? Let's say for instance, I'm going to Vegas and marry Raheem. No, you not. I know why I met, so I ain't going. No, you ain't going, man. come on, daddy. You should have lost some mind. You go high, I go low. But there are some decisions you're going to just have to kind of.
And I could just piggyback off of Kashella. You don't want to just throw your child out there to the wolves.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
But, like, for instance, I can give you an example of what happened with one of my children. They decide to, all my kids are very academic and just inclined. They're just very, very smart, like your dad. Because, you know, anyway. And he decided to drop out of college. Lost scholarship, lost tops, lost all that. I allow him to make that error. Even though I told him, I gave him advice. We gave him advice saying that wasn't the best thing to do. But guess what? In a way, why allow him to go to college and fail out anyway? Mm-hmm. So we allow him, because if not, we could have put him out of house. It could have been really, really bad.
Contentious, yeah.
Right. So we allowed him to make that decision, but we told him, if you're not going to go to college, you have to go get a job. I said, all of my children have a record of going to college after high school. You'll be a first go get a job. Mm-hmm. So he went and got a job. But after talking to him and, you know, we came together as a family and we prayed for him and we kind of encouraged him. He enrolled himself back to school. But guess what? He's paid for it with the money that he
absolutely. And see, I'm one of those, I'm one of those parents as well. So
I got what I want him back in school. He got what he needs,
lesson? Mm-hmm,
but
right.
He's paying for it.
Absolutely.
And it's going to take him longer to get it because by him working, he also he's going part-time. Mm-hmm. He can't go full-time. Mm-hmm. Even though he lost all that, so now he learned that he took it as a learning lesson.
And I call that parenting. You get what I'm saying? There's some things that we would like to be easier for our children. You got to step away? Okay. There's some things that we want to make easier for our kids because we see the danger in it. Or
we see the brick wall coming.
Right. Mm-hmm. But it was like, okay. I mean, similar to my oldest, when she was going to college, she had tops and all this other stuff set up, and she made some decisions, and the money wasn't there anymore. Mm-hmm. So we had to pay for it. Now I say, okay, I always said I wasn't going to get a loan, but I'm not. That was one loan, no more. Mm-hmm. Last 2 years, she's been doing her thing.
Yep.
But I said, as long as you're doing it, I'm a help you. Mm-hmm. I'm not here to enable you. I'm here to help. Mm-hmm. So sometimes you got to allow certain, you know, mistakes.
Because that's how we learn as parents. I mean, when we were younger than eight, we learned from our mistakes. We weren't perfect. Mm-hmm. We made some mistakes. Our parents didn't shelter us and just put a covering over us all day long and follows everywhere.
I mean,
we
some
went.
Parents like that. Some parents yeah. don't want that. I mean, some parents but don't you have, try to. You, but.
And
they got some that don't want their kids to make no boo-boos, no mistakes, and they're dealing with a monster, a grown woman or man in their house that don't want to do nothing. Ain't working.
I think part of me is that way. I think because it comes with a certain level of validation that, or success, maybe. Maybe that's a better word. That if my children didn't get don't stumble and fall, that maybe that a reflection on me that I did something good. That's the only thing that that matters to me.
Right.
So that is that might be something that's stemming from me, that I am looking for some type of success through my children's success to say that I did something good.
That's really dope. That is really good that you
that's
put it
deep.
Like that. That is very deep. I can tell you like this. Everything was all good. I thought to quote a Jay-Z song, but it was all good just a week ago. But I'm sorry, church folks. Y'all know what that is.
Be real.
So there was an issue. When my kids became teenagers, that one of them did something that was crazy out there in those streets. And I mean, I felt like crazy as a parent, because you know, you have this image. Mm-hmm. And I was to hold on to this image. I know we're kind of getting off task a little bit, but I wanted this image. And I love this image. When this
child did this crazy.
All this craziness out there in the streets, and you hearing it from people like, oh. And I'm glad it wasn't nothing crazy. I mean,
yeah.
It wasn't what
nothing that couldn't be fixed.
Absolutely. Right. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I was debating with this child, like, listen, this is not a good look. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm just living my life. You was young once, that kind of combativeness, and I don't do well
with combativeness.
I don't do well with combativeness.
You don't
communicate.
Either.
I don't do well with combativeness.
You don't either.
She was trying to reason and stuff. Like,
my husband is more of the up the gut. Punching them out, kind of delivery.
So why do you, Timmy? Why do you?
Yeah,
that's not my energy. That's not what kind of energy I'm. So,
yeah, no. Nah, I mean, know? When I turn up, there's a different level.
You're making me angry. Monique, like
my alter ego is Monique.
Monique Devon.
Yes.
I'm still Cash Cashella.
You're all the same. Yeah,
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Yeah, so it's a different level. But yeah, I try not to, because the life gives them so much heartache already.
Yeah.
But they do find their good positive moments in their lives lifetime. So when they have good moments, and then we want to celebrate them. But when they acting a fool, you do want to kind of like look boo, you have to be checked.
Yeah,
but
right.
It's not. Sometimes it doesn't go over well. It just doesn't be received as you think it should.
But it's gonna be all right. They're not gonna die.
The hashtag, did you die?
And that's what I was going to mention as it relates to that, too. I think a lot of decisions I make is because I'm paranoid that they're going to just do something that's unrecoverable.
Yes.
And you know how you fix that, you know? So certain things we believe in our mind that we cannot be fixed. So once it's done, it's done. So now if I can prevent you from making that mistake that you can't overturn, then... Because now it's like, okay, even with the cell phone thing, it's like you want to check it, but oh my God, if I find that
something
in there, like, what in the
world?
What
it doing to you?
Exactly, you know? So that's what we deal with a lot of times. But even when my son made a decision, like I said, that I thought my life wasn't going to even be able to recover from, God, and we have to bring him in.
Yeah.
He told me that I had to extend to my son the same grace that he extended to me.
I need you to be mad like me.
So I'm like, are you serious? So that day, my devotion was on give, and it shall be given back unto you. Good man, the press
out
shaking
it and running over.
Exactly.
Like, that's not what I want to hear right now.
Exactly. I'm like, this is talking about offering, right? I'm talking about the same grace that I gave to you when you were 17 and you did that. Not gonna give it to him.
Yeah.
I'm like, what? So it's going to be okay for him to make this mistake? No, God wasn't saying it was okay. But at the same time, as parents, a lot of times we find ourselves where we want to just come down on them.
Right.
We forget that, you know what? We made mistakes.
Absolutely.
Right.
Not that our parents let us make mistakes. Yeah. We happen to make those mistakes. Yeah. And we're still here to talk about it.
Absolutely.
So they're going to survive. But at the same time, I want the parents, see, I'm talking both sides of my mouth, because I want to make sure if I can alleviate you from making that mistake, I'm going to do that. But in the event that you do make the mistake, my position as a mom is I have to still cover you.
Absolutely.
Love, because love covers a multitude of sin.
Yes.
I'm not going to throw you out there for the wolves to just be chewed up on.
Right.
Because guess what? You're going to have to deal with that on the outside.
That's right.
So as your mom, it's my position to cover you at all
costs. And look, I'm going to cover you. I'm going to hold you accountable. You're not going to like it. Like, going back to one of my kids, you want a car? You need a car. Mm-hmm. You pay your note, I pay your insurance, which is just, but yeah. So never been late, and I've always paid the insurance. Sometimes I'm like, oh, she dropped the ball, but she ain't, you know, I don't gotta pay this. But I can see that, cause I'm on it, but that took some time to get her to the point that she is like, I'm gonna be the responsible young lady. Well,
let me and on the flip side, they're more responsible than we give them because we don't want to let go. That's, and I know that's what me. It,
absolutely.
That is definitely.
Absolutely. Right. I had a fit about them driving for the longest, but.
They gotta do it eventually. Right. You can't bring them everywhere.
I think I need them in this stage of life more than they might need me. Mm. And that's why I hold on so tight. But it's not that because I can't move on with my life. It's just that's all I
know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to move forward with that. And it's hard because watching my children, especially my girls, grow up into beautiful young women, I'm trying to want to peek in. Now, this is what I told my oldest daughter. Now you're at an age where you have to invite me into your life.
Right.
How is that possible?
Right.
Because
right.
I'm supposed to, in my mind, automatically be there.
Right.
But it's not so.
Right.
So now I'm patiently waiting to be invited. Right. And that waiting moment is really difficult.
I've been there. And I'm going to tell you, when the time comes that you are back in, it's going to be like there's no time that you lost.
Right. Yeah. And it's going to be awesome. And with me, I have. I got four girls, and you just gotta let your girls be girls, and you gotta give them some little wiggle room. You know, give them some wiggle room to mature. You gotta give them some wiggle room to make mistakes.
Yeah,
you gotta give them some wiggle room to be proud of themselves that they did something without mommy's help.
Yeah,
but my position is. Wiggle room is subjective.
Though. Yeah, I know. See, we're struggling with this.
But that's why, and that's why you have to submit that wiggle room to the Lord.
Mm-hmm. It's because that mom that felt like, you know what, I'm gonna give them a little bit wiggle room,
and they take the whole.
Is sitting there disappointed right now.
Right.
And now she's sitting saying, you know what, I should have not even. Attempted to, because my mom used to always say, I give you an inch, you're gonna take a mile. And that's what happens with the wiggle room. So when I'm saying it's subjective, how do I measure what's the length of the wiggle room?
I'm sorry, I'm hearing what you're saying.
Because what she's saying,
but I was right up here.
When you're so profound,
all I did was, and she leaned in. I mean,
I'm serious, and that's why even with my 14-year-old, it's like, okay, I know you're around this environment that's creative for the friendships and everything. So while I want to give you a little wiggle room, I'm paranoid. I'm paranoid that you're little. I'm sorry. We being transparent, right?
And I'm not saying that it's not hard because, you know, believe it or not.
Well, wiggle room has caused teenage pregnancy.
You really have to give up, like just like you said. Look at us agreeing.
I don't know how to feel about this.
I think this is a setup. You
have to give up. We always had this, that even when our kids were much younger, like. Like, for instance, I have one that's right now. I want to go on a sleepover. We never really did the sleepover thing. We never sleepover family. Unless it was like, you know.
By my house.
By your house. And the boys go away. And I'm like, okay, well, I know she's going to be by. You know, I had like probably two people, you and the sister-in-law, that always my kids would buy.
That
I trust. Because off top, there's like, well, the husband going to take the boys, whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be us. For that. I trust that because we grew up together. Anywho, and she's 16 trying to do sleep. I'm like, no, we don't do sleepovers, honey. Well, you need to trust me. I trust you to go to school and to practice and come home. I'm good with it. It's not that
I trust you, but I don't trust what's going on. Right.
So that's kind of our issue right now. But other
now
than
that, I wouldn't allow wiggle room.
Right. I mean, because that's something I know for
because
certain.
You don't know the other people. You have no idea what's going on in that other household.
So I guess we'll be going on for hours because I want to know what you mean then. So, but you got to trust God for her to be at the front.
No, man. God give me also the wisdom to know.
So give me examples of wiggle room that I should be allowing my 14-year-old to explore at this time because I'm having a problem with this whole subject at hand.
At 14-year-old, no wiggle room.
No wiggle room.
But you just said I got to trust God.
We say younger.
But we say it depends on age.
Yeah.
And I ain't careful.
I ain't see the hashtag.
16, maybe, but no.
And it's really okay, so on a maturity 16, level. Let's say
that's
maturity
not that far in again, maturity.
It's
maturity.
But your 14-year-old might be mature as a 16-year-old.
That's right. My point. That's exactly. Right. So that's why I said so.
Right. And I start off with little stuff, like for instance, the movie theater is walking distance from the house.
But she some things happen in the movie theater that
true.
Y'all don't know.
But now don't judge me. But hold on. But don't judge me. Why did I drive off to the movie theater?
And you said in the movie.
I went home. I was sitting back there. I dipped in, eating popcorn. He was like, may I help you? No, I'm good.
No, like, look.
Yeah. And so when the time movie was over, I went back home. She called me like, Mom, I'm ready. So I had, you know, and it wasn't for her, it was for me to make sure that you were doing what you're supposed to do. I'm sorry. But that's what I did, them two times.
So she ain't getting no more than two. I know. <for that. laughs>
So what I was trying to say, there was times that I've sent my, like, for instance, one of my kids have an issue with kind of doing stuff by herself. So I would deliberately drive in front of Walmart and tell them, get this, eggs, milk, go ahead. And here's the money, is how much it should cost. She did not want to do it. So one day she did it. One day she got out the car. I mean, you would really think that she had like anxiety attacks. She just didn't like it. While she was up in there going to get it, I dipped in there. I was kind of looking down the aisle. She had no idea I was in there. But she had to build up that confidence to do things by herself.
Right.
So there's some things that kids will want to do, and there's some things that they're going to be afraid of doing. But as parents, we have to differentiate, what are we going to allow them to do?
What is beneficial?
When it's beneficial. If they say they want to drive to a friend's house, you may be one of the parents. Initially, you want to be like, I'm just going to drive the 8 cars behind you and see if you go in there. You're going to honor your word. So sometimes you got to do some things and don't make yourself notice. That you're there.
Well, and I guess
I know that's kind of extreme, but I was one of those parents, and I'm one of those ones that, thankfully, all of them did what they said they were gonna do, or it'd be different.
Okay, like with one of my children, one of nine and a half. we weren't home. Okay, that child had gotten off of school because he's a senior. Mm-hmm. So come to find out. I tell you, God is so good. Oop,
that's a good
one. Amen. Hey,
hey! Look how awesome God is. So, we all at work, everybody at school, he was the only one home. So, his friends wanted to go take a ride to Baton Rouge on the other side of Baton Rouge. Make long story short, he left, took the car without permission. He thought he can go do his little do and come back before we got home. Mm-hmm. Well, guess what happened?
Couple down.
Guess who had to go get him? His dad. Mm-hmm. Guess who left him on side the road? His friend. So that was a learning lesson for him. For one, don't ever think you can sneak and without your parents finding out. For two, you really don't have true friends. Mm-hmm. Your true friends will show his color. Your fake friends will show his color. Mm-hmm. And for three, you could always count on dad and mom. Mm-hmm. We didn't, and how we punish him? We were just planning to get him a car. Mm-hmm. Bless him with a car. Mm-hmm. And I was livid because
I was livid because
the car we was going to bless him with was my old car, and I was getting a new car.
Oh, yeah. So he blocked you.
So he blocked me.
And she went on a pushing a block driver.
Why don't you ever do anything? So now he has to build that trust with us. Mm-hmm. So that's what we call, you know, now we got to give him a little wiggle room to build that trust up again. Like if he wants to go to a friend house when he come home from college. Depends on where he want to go and who he visiting. We might say yes. Mm-hmm. If the ones we know that he hung out with for 4 years, we'll probably say yes. If it's somebody new, random, no. Because remember what you did? Mm-hmm. Right. And you got to remind your children of, you know, their mistakes.
I was about to say that. And sometimes in our reminding, the children feel like
you're keeping them
at the space. It's not, we're not keeping you there intentionally trying to keep you back. It's just a reminder that some decision that you made was not quite sharp at that time. And
look at quite sharp. Let's check it.
Yes.
It was dumb. Yeah. Your decision wasn't, it was dumb.
But again, going back to allowing your children to grow, I had to understand that the children really think about the repercussions of their decision. Right. They really think about it.
Yeah, they really think.
Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, though, sometimes we hold them in the same spot because we're so angry with them, or we don't want them to do that same mistake, mm-hmm. that we don't allow them to grow out of that moment.
Yeah.
So,
which
again,
is super dangerous.
It's a back and forth thing. So
they're gonna sneak again.
Right. Yes.
And that's why it's so important to have God involved in a situation. Mm-hmm. Because again, when I felt like I was just so disappointed, had God not intervened, mm-hmm. I would still be mad up until the day.
And have to remind
but you. He himself had to come and soften my heart and give me, mm-hmm. bring me back to my mm-hmm. memory as mm-hmm. to the mistakes I made and the grace that he gave mm-hmm. unto me that I had to mm-hmm. now extend it. But I also want to say also, it's so important when they do make that mistake that we are careful of how we handle
Absolutely.
The making a mistake and also who we vent to about it. Because
right.
when we're over it, we don't want someone to still be holding that over our child.
Right.
We didn't dealt with it at 373, mm-hmm. so now it's time for you to move forward and stop holding that over here. Yeah. But you, please erase my address off that.
Nobody knew that's an address.
King Tully,
that's a secret code.
I thought she was 357. Anyway.
But you know, we're over it, so we have to just be careful there. Because people tend to do that whole thing against our kids where we didn't move forward and not.
You remember when you bought?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right, so, and that's so true.
Yeah.
So in closing,
you closing already?
Just like church. In close, I'm not gonna keep y'all long.
About three closing.
Yeah, it's the first one. Closing number one. Go ahead. If you were to talk to your younger self, there was other stuff that I wanted to talk about, but I don't want to keep y'all too long. It's a Roundup. There's a lawsuit out there, but they're still selling it. So I don't know what's the spray that stuff along the building.
Anyway, while she's saying that, 1001 Paul Mallory Road, our service is at.
Yeah.
9:45 every Sunday morning.
You probably can't hear over the lawn.
In a weedy.
Y'all gonna stop talking about my church.
With they lawn care. Everybody else cut grass on Saturday. They hear on the
maintenance.
Maintenance is awesome.
Yeah, it is. So, in closing, what would you tell you? I'm home.
This closing number two. It's chiming into your closing number two time.
DJ, go. All right, then. What would you tell your...
Be on this side, Kate.
Oh, hurry up. Go fast.
What would you tell your younger self? Like your 20-year-old younger self.
To forgive yourself and be free in that moment. Because I was so uptight and I was on the straight and narrow. I wanted to please everybody. Mm-hmm. So now the pleasing part of me, I have to do that now at 46, trying to undo what I've structured myself to be. And unfortunately though, the other people who was telling me to go on the straight and narrow did what they wanted to do.
And that's something.
And
they their own advice.
Right. They didn't take their own advice. Mm-hmm. And they kind of forced me. They forged me this path, mm-hmm. this very narrow path, while they was living freely. So
I would say, in short, I would tell my younger self that every decision I make today has an effect on my tomorrow. So that's inclusive mm-hmm. of everything. That's the good decisions, that's the bad decisions. Mm-hmm. That's the good friends, that's the bad friends.
Yeah.
That's the sneaking in, that's the being obedient. Mm-hmm. That's everything.
Mm-hmm.
My decisions today impacts my tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. Can you do it, y'all?
So much fun to my... Yvette, you are beautifully and wonderfully made. And that boy cannot be your daddy. He cannot fulfill your daddy's shoes.
The one you've been married to 51 years?
Yeah. Because I was looking for validation. You know, I wanted my daddy to be there.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And my daddy wasn't fulfilling that daddy role. Now, he was there. He was providing, doing it, but he wasn't. I couldn't go sit on his lap or, you know, and say, daddy. And hear daddy, him tell me he loved me and stuff like that, and I'm beautiful and I'm smart. So I was looking with the boys. And the boy just fulfilled that emotional. I didn't want the other physical, mm-hmm. even though I got it and didn't want it and didn't like it and didn't enjoy it.
I can't tell any kids.
No, that was after we got married.
I know.
But I had to go through all that other stuff.
You had to go through the ugly
to get
to the beautiful.
To get the emotional.
So much. In short, what I would say, I would tell my 20-year-old self
so short.
You have a kid already, so...
your 20-year-old son had a kid already? Oh, okay.
That's not get another one.
But So I would tell myself to, it's okay to process your emotions. It's okay to process your emotions. Process your emotions and keep on pushing.
You need some tissue?
No. And that's probably because of the grass that they cut my side.
Cut is over.
That's pollen in the air.
We thought you was processing your emotions.
It's your emotions. That's it. Because when I was younger, so much happened. He's and farting. I was just so, you know, I was angry.
Yeah.
You know, I was angry. You know, at my parents, I was angry.
You had to grow up fast. Family.
I had to grow up so fast, and I didn't understand, and life was happening so fast, and I didn't know how to process it. But
poor Michael Jackson went through the same thing.
Wait, I would also say this.
Hold on, wait, stop, because I have to cut this apart, because I'm about to be really insensitive.
I'm being sensitive.
You made it to the top.
Okay, oh, okay.
And see. You have
okay. Wait, we have to compose it so you can pick it back up. Right. I added all this part out.
You are bad. I didn't know that. You I have to get you here.
I'll tell you something.
But what I said was, you realize Michael Jackson did not have a childhood. So when he got older to be able to control his life, who he had around him most? Children.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he controlled them.
We're going to edit this part out because we this is not a topic.
You did a whole lot.
It's not going to be a part of the mommy and me. What were you saying? Tell you to mess up your train thought.
Well, I'm glad because I'm trying to see how to say this. But I wanted to say, I would also say what you don't know could really affect you also.
Absolutely.
And that's deep for me. It may not be because y'all may be not feeling this, but
I feel it.
Because, you know, being in an environment where you feel like a lot of people knew a lot of things and you didn't push yourself to find out. So now being 40, it's like, wow, I wish at 20 I would have known, because now you feel like you're several steps backwards where you should have been forward, but it's what you didn't know.
Absolutely.
And I don't know what I didn't know, but at the same time, I just wish I would have fought a little bit harder to find out.
I feel differently because a lot of things that was out there, I didn't want to know. I didn't want to be exposed to it. But I'm making sure my children know and be exposed to it. Mm-hmm. Now, not that it's a bad thing that I didn't know. Like you was kind of saying, what you were trying to say, it's almost kind of protected you of some things, but not knowing some things. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, y'all have to realize, and I know y'all do, we grew up in a totally different.
I mean, you're much older than me, so.
Different era. Come on, Kashara.
Yeah.
She act like we up there.
What I can't say about that comment is, certainly, because that was a lot of time that I spent because I felt that I didn't have these ideal parents. And the reality of, as I got older, is because they did the best that they could. Mm-hmm. But I didn't understand. Right, I didn't understand that then.
We had to accept them for doing the best that they
could. The best that they could, given what they had. And I'm telling you, I'm 40 and just now getting that in those moments.
See how long it took you?
Whoa.
You see what I mean? It's 20 years, 20 plus years of your life. You have to unlearn the stuff that you already, from a child's perspective, thought you knew.
Yeah.
But then there's cycles that you have to be willing to break off.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So and once you're aware.
It's a limited amount of space that we can give to where mama didn't know, so that's what she did. But now it's the ownership is on us to find out. Right.
But you have to be willing to do that work.
Absolutely.
But you know what? What's also awesome that just dropped in my spirit, we can find out without children.
Right.
And so that we can learn together.
And that was the beauty with me having kids, especially by being so young. Is because I literally grew up with my kids.
But that the difference with you, Cash, is you wanted to learn with your children. Some parents, some young women who've been beaten down so much that they don't even want to associate themselves with their children because they still so unfulfilled that they don't know how to talk to their children.
They're wounded and hurt.
Yeah. So now the children look like almost another goddamn strike against them, and they don't know how to do that. Right. So now another hindrance, another burden. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, you was a blessing. You wanted to cater to your children. You wanted to learn.
And I made a lot of mistakes early on, and it almost destroyed
me. But you stood there and fought.
Yeah, I did. And thank God. Here we go. But thank God.
Thank God.
Thank God, because he's really been... he has been awesome in reconnecting me and my kids, especially my oldest one, because I didn't know I was a kid. Mm-hmm. You know, what you crying for? Ain't nobody got time for crying.
You know, you got to keep moving.
Yeah, you got to keep pushing. Yeah, right.
But y'all realize our children are replicas of us, right?
Right, right, right. And I see that. I see pieces of me floating around, and it's like, oh my goodness. What part of me did I not nurture enough in me that I fostered in my child? Mm-hmm. Because what I don't know, I don't know. And what I don't know, I can't raise and I can't nurture. Right. I can't do any of those things. Right. So now my children, I watch them so they can teach me a little things. And that's why I'm so maybe more considered a helicopter mom, maybe, because I wanted to know so much, because through their prism, man, children can see so many different things that we can't see.
That's right.
Not only see, they can feel, they just have that instinct, you know what I mean? A motherly instinct, just intuition.
Yeah.
Oh my God, they got it too.
Well, we're going to continue this. We're going to get together again for another part. So if you have any questions, email greatgr@gmail.com. Email greattabletalk@gmail.com. Oh, look at you. Great Table Talk, GR8 Table Talk at Instagram and Facebook.
Hello.
Give us a call. Leave us a message. I don't really check them, but you can call Great Table Talk. Or text. I read the text. 504-517-3505. I would like to thank our author. Two-time author. Monica
Author's
Banks. Thank you very much.
Those books.
Yeah. Thank you again, Lady J. Coach extraordinaire. First lady. She is a coach. You really are a coach in every area. You do understand that, right? Like you're a coach when it comes to spin, which that's when I was like, spin.
Give it
that dollar. At work, I know.
That book in my life.
I'm going to wrap that book, Pastor. And of course, Vetiano. Now, what's another coach? Lord. Let me tell y'all something.
Why you keep putting me with all this?
Yeah, you're right.
I'm trying to get the people to think I'm like a shallow.
It has been Great Table Talk, and we out. Bye.
Bye.